So I thought I'd start off just by showing you where we went. Uganda's not much bigger than England and Wales combined. And we landed at Entebbe, which is in the south of Uganda. Just there. Almost on the equator. We got to within 5 kilometres of the equator, but did not get to cross it, sadly. Never mind. And then we drove to Jinja, which is here, at the point where where the River Nile flows out of Lake Victoria. So we went on a boat trip on the lake there, and we got to see the source of the River Nile, which was fantastic. And then we were based at Kumi, this town here, in the east of Uganda, and that's where we were when we were working. Kumi is one of the poorest towns in the poorest regions of Uganda. And then at the end of the trip, we went over here to Murchison Falls National Park just for some rest and recreation before we came home. And Murchison Falls is one of the largest waterfalls in the world, based on the volume of water that flows over it. Not the height or the width of the waterfall, but the volume of water. That's how they measure it. And then we came back to Entebbe. So that's just to give you an idea of where we were. And this is Wiggins Primary School, which is where we were working. So this is the front of the school here. And those are some of the oldest classes for the oldest children there. When we arrived, we were given the most fantastic welcome by the children. They sang for us, they danced. We all sat behind this table and there were flowers and all sorts. They were very pleased to see us. It was fantastic. And the work that we were doing there was building accommodation for teachers. So in Uganda, teachers are provided with accommodation at the schools where they're working. But in this school, 6 of the classrooms were being used to house teachers and their families, which meant that the children were being squashed into far fewer classrooms than they should have been in. So the project that we were working on was to build these 4 new houses for teachers. And that was the state of the building when we arrived. So a Mission Direct team had been out in the spring who had done the foundations, and then when we came, this is what we were faced with. So we built, and you can see those are some of the existing teacher houses in the background there. That's some of our team working, and some more of us working later on. We didn't do the outer walls. When it got to the scaffolding point, we didn't go on the scaffolding. So the local builders carried on. We tended to work until lunchtime, 1 o'clock-ish, and then we would go and look at other projects and do other things in the afternoons. But of course, they carried on all day. So they were working on the outer walls, and then we were doing the inner walls when we came. This is why we didn't go on the scaffolding, you can see. But this is what it was looking like at the point that we left, beginning of August. That's where we got to. So that's pretty much up to roof height on the walls. But then there was another team from Mission Direct went out in September. And when they left, this is what it looked like. So the roof was already on when they arrived, and that team was working on plastering and finishing off inside the buildings. The project now, the local builders will be carrying on, and they will, the aim is to finish the buildings by the end of this year, so they're ready to be occupied. And then the classrooms that were being used for accommodation will be refurbished and be ready to use again as classrooms for the new school year. The new school year is due to start at the end of January, but there are also elections happening around then. So depending on when the elections happen, the school year will start afterwards, with the possibility of unrest and things. They don't want children at school during that time. That's what hopefully will happen. I did do some building, but this is what I spent most of my time doing. This is the P5 class. That's the 5th year of primary school. They are much older than the 5th year in our primary school would be. In Uganda, they have to pass each year to move up to the next year. So there was a wide age range in this class. There were obviously some children who had passed every year, but there were a lot who had obviously been held back more than once in some cases. So there were over 120 children in that class. We never managed to get a proper number. The clientele varied from day to day. Attendance wasn't really kept checked up on very much. We were there for census day, when they did have to count all the children in the school, and quite a lot turned up. But a lot of children are needed at home to do things, so they don't always come to school, or it's just too difficult, or whatever. You can see it's really closely packed in there. It was really difficult or virtually impossible to get round and see what the children were actually doing. It was really difficult teaching under those circumstances. It was also interesting as a teacher. It was write everything on the board. They copied it down. They copied the questions. They did write answers to questions, but that was the way they learnt. When we tried to do discussion, question and answer from us to them worked fairly well. Discussion between children, they couldn't do that at all. It was a completely alien concept to them that they could discuss with their neighbour or their partner about anything. So that was interesting. But I did enjoy teaching them. We taught all the days that we were there. We taught in this class. And another thing we did at the school, this was their Scripture Union Club, which happened after school. We had over 200 children turned up at that. And I suppose it was a bit like Sunday school. They heard Bible stories, they sang, they prayed. And when we were there, we acted out a Bible story for them. And we taught them a song. And we enjoyed being part of what they were doing there. This is another thing that we did on one of our afternoons. This is the lady here is a Mother's Union representative. And so the Mother's Union in Kumi looks after a lot of people who, particularly older people, who don't have people to support them, don't have family or anybody else to support them. And so we went and we took her some food, we took her some chickens, we took her some maize seed to help her. We chatted with her, we prayed with her as well. That group that I was with, we went to three people. I think then we must have made 6 or 7 visits between us as our team during that day to people who needed support. And the Mothers Union do that on a regular basis in that area. This was another thing that we did one day when we weren't working at the school. The lady here in the middle is called Susan, and she has 6 children and 1 grandchildren, and they live in that hut there, which is called a banda, and that was their home. And they had been identified by their local church as needing help, support with their housing situation particularly. So yes, we took her food and we took her some gifts and things as well, but the main thing we did there was that we built a house for her. So again, local builders had got the bottom layer, the foundation layer, and during the day that we were there, we built as high as we could before the weight of the bricks would have made it all collapse. So and then it was left to dry for a few days, and when the team went back in September to see how she was getting on, she was living in her finished house. The local builders had finished it off, and she was able to live there and was very happy with it. So that's another thing that Mission Direct do in that area. They work with the local churches to support, and I know the team that went in September, they built another house for another family who were in need. This we went to was a compassion project, St. Stephen's Child Development Centre. So this was on a Saturday, and the children had come there. We gave them breakfast, and then again, we're acting out our Bible story here. We did the story of Jesus calming the storm. So Jesus is here, Jamie, and I had the book, so I got to read the story. And everybody else was the disciples in the boat. And we acted it out for them, and we sang with them again. We served them lunch. But the other thing that we did there that they really enjoyed, we played games with them too. So these children have been sponsored through Compassion. And what was really nice was that several of the people who were running this project had been Compassion-sponsored children themselves. So they'd gone through the program, and when they graduated from the Compassion program, they had come back to work to help other children in the same situation as they had been in. They really loved it. They loved all the games we played with them. And it was really fantastic to see what was happening there. Another interesting thing about that project was that they are not taking on any more sponsored children in that particular project, because the support that is able to be given to the wider community through that, they've got enough sponsored children to be able to do that. When these ones have grown up and graduated, then maybe they will take on more sponsorship. But compassion can do that. They work in different areas according to the need. And then at the end of our trip, when we were at the national park, we went on a game drive. So here's a few of the animals that we saw. There's that lovely family of lions. And I just thought it was such a lovely view across. Uganda is a really much more lush and green country than I was expecting. There's a lot of water, as you can see from the map at the beginning. There's a lot of water in Uganda, lots of rivers and lakes and things. But it was a very, very fertile country. And as I say, really green and lovely to travel around. And that, when I was there, of course, I'd come from Holiday Bible Club. I'd had to leave before the end. And one of the, when Simon asked me to think of a reading for this service, the one that was, had been in my mind all the time I was there was from Psalm 139 that we had read when, in Holiday Bible Club on the last day that I was there. And so Noah and Bethan and Phoebe are going to read to us now, Psalm 139. Do you want to come down, Phoebe? So yeah, this was very much on my mind while I was there, and it talks about the wonders of God's creation and all the things that we saw. It was a real privilege to be able to see things I'd only ever heard about or read about or seen on the television, but actually to see them for real was fantastic. So,
you have looked deep into my heart, Lord, and you know all about me. You know when I am resting or when I am working. And from heaven, you discover my thoughts, you notice everything I do and everywhere I go. Before I even speak a word, you know what I will say, and with your powerful arm, you protect me from every side. I can't understand all of this, such wonderful knowledge is far above me.
Where could I go to escape from the spirit, from your spirit, or from your sight? If I were to climb up to the highest heavens, you would be there. If I were to dig down to the world of the dead, you would also be there. Suppose I had wings like the dawning day and flew across the ocean. Even then, your powerful arm would guide me and protect me. Or suppose I said, I'll hide in the dark until the night comes to cover me over. But you see in the dark because daylight and dark are the same to you.
You are the one who put me together inside my mother's body, and I praise you because of the wonderful way you created me. Everything you do is marvellous. Of this I have no doubt. Nothing about me is you. I was secretly woven together out of human sight, but with your own eyes you saw my body being formed. Even before I was born, you had written in your book everything about me.
Thank you. Thank you very much, all of you. Over to you, Simon.
I thought it'd be really good to ask Anna a few questions. They're not too difficult, I promised her that. And there's just three. The first one is, what did you learn about yourself on your trip?
Well, I learned that I can lay bricks. Please tell Glenna. There was a picture of me there, laying bricks. She wanted to see one. Not to building regulation standards here, but it was something that I didn't think I could do, that I went and I did. And I also learned, surprisingly, that I really do enjoy teaching. I spent all my teenage years saying I will not become a teacher, I absolutely won't, but I really did enjoy it there. I do enjoy it here as well. I wanted to do more to help the children to engage with their learning, perhaps, and to be more involved in it rather than just copying from the board. But in 5 days, it's limited what you can do, really. But I also learned a lot about trusting God with things that I couldn't control and stepping out of my comfort zone. It's easy just to carry on doing the things that we always do. And I think if you'd asked me on the morning of the day, do you really want to go? I'd have said, no, I'll stay at home. It's fine. You know, God was there, and it was about knowing that I could trust God. He would equip me. He would catch me. He would be there with me all the time. It's a good, I know I knew that beforehand, but it was a really, it's good to be reminded of that too. We just tend to take it for granted after a while.
Yeah, it's knowing is really knowing, isn't it?
Yes.
You touched on it a little bit already, but what did you learn about God through your time?
So, as I said before, a lot of the things in that psalm, I found it a real privilege to see bits of God's creation. We can be here and say God's creation is amazing, looking at the autumn colours, the clear skies, the things you can see around us here. But to see other things as well, the variety, that was amazing. I really liked that. I was also reminded about how much God cares for us, the little details of our lives, everything about us God cares about. He's bothered, and he will always be there with us. His powerful arm will always guide and protect me. We saw that as a team. We saw that as individuals while we were there. Verse 7, somebody gave me this verse before I went, not in the words that we use here. This, our verse 7 said, "Where could I go to escape from your spirit or from your sight?" I think the version she sent me talked about God hemming me in. And when I told that to Alistair, he said, he's not here so I can say this. When I said that to Alistair, he said, "Oh, I don't want to be hemmed in. That's not right. God doesn't constrain me." But for me, that verse wasn't about being constrained. It was about knowing that however far I went, God was always that one stage further. He was always beyond the boundaries of whatever I was doing. Even when I was stepping outside of my own boundaries, God was that bit further and was always there ready to stop me going too far or doing it. You know, he was always there to protect me, and I certainly experienced that while I was there.
Fantastic. This is the last Sunday in our mission month, and we've been not just hearing about mission but learning about mission. What did your trip to Uganda teach you about mission?
Lots of stuff. Firstly, mission is not about a person going and do something. You were all involved in my mission, and I want to thank everybody who prayed for me, who gave money to support the trip, and all the ways that you supported me. It was a whole church thing, and it wasn't just because I went. It wasn't about me. Mission is not just one person on their own. Mission doesn't have to be about going and telling people about God. We tend to think of the missionaries of in days gone by who went and preached. And the mission that I saw was about getting alongside people and knowing them and helping them in whatever way they needed. And doing that because God loves us and we want to show his love in practical ways to other people. Mission Direct is thought of as a short-term mission project, and it does allow people to go for short times to do mission projects and then come home again. But actually, what I saw there is that Mission Direct, the organisation is very much a long-term project. So Jan and Richard, who are the organisers in Kumi in Uganda, they have been doing it for 10 years. And so all those people that we went out and helped on the days that we were there are people that they have known for many years. And so they work alongside them over a long time, and they've probably got a waiting list of people to have village homes built for them. And we went back to visit people that they had helped years ago. So we were checking up on things like the chicken project. That's a really good one. You can ask me about it later. Kumi Hospital, they've been going to the hospital for many years, and it's when they find that there's a need for a particular item, then they get back to all the people who support them in the UK and say, "We need money for this," and things like that. I did ask about the value of unskilled builders going out and doing building work, and Richard said it's not about how many bricks you can lay or can't lay in some cases. The local builders are employed by Mission Direct. It's work for them. They're paid for the work that they're doing. But he said that it's interesting. They work 3 times quicker on Mission Direct projects than on anybody else's project, because they know that there are people coming out to see what they're doing, people coming from overseas. It's not like stuff that they're just doing for a local contractor. And I think the other value is people show that they care. People have come from overseas and they have shown an interest in the lives of people in a particular area, and concern for their needs. And obviously we could give money and the money would go there and the work would get done, but it doesn't carry the same value then. It's the fact that people have gone, have acted out God's love, have shown in a practical way that God cares for them. And I think mission is all of those things. And that's what I saw there. That's what I experienced.
So those are my three questions. I would encourage you after the service to have a chat to Anna if you have your own questions or want to get some brick building. We're going to try now. Anna's going to explain how we're going to,
yes,
how we're going to do that.
Could we have the slide? And Michelle, the people who are going to help Michelle with the prayers, do you want to come and help her? Yes, no, we need you too. Honest. So we did this in Holiday Bible Club too, and the children are going to bring round sweets, and depending on what colour sweet you pick, then that's what you need to pray for. Not out loud, we're going to pray, we can pray in our heads, and Simon's going to finish off at the end. So if you get a red one, then please pray for Richard and Jan as they are leading the teams in Uganda and coordinating the work there. I know that there are three teams going out with Mission Direct to Kumi next year. There are people signed up for all three of them at the moment. None of them are full, but there are already people who will be going. If you get orange, pray for the children at Wiggins Primary School, especially P7, that's the top class, taking their exams in November. They need to pass those exams to go on to secondary school or potentially for what work they might be doing in the future. If you get yellow, please pray for the teachers and the families who will be occupying those new homes that we've built. If you get green, please pray for the completion of the building work and the refurbishment of the classrooms so they can be used next year. For white, please pray for the work of the Mothers Union supporting the elderly and forgotten. And if you get purple, please pray for peaceful campaigning ahead of the elections due to be held early next year. And if you don't want to have a sweet, just pick a colour and pray for one of those things. So, when everybody's got a sweet, we'll just have a few moments quietly to pray, and then Simon's going to finish off.
Red, orange, yellow, green, white, purple. Lord, we lift these multicoloured prayers to you, knowing that you hear them. Lord, we thank you for what Anna has shared. Thank you for her willingness to respond to that call to mission. And pray, Lord, that we will continue in our thoughts beyond our own borders, in our thoughts beyond our own circumstances. We continue to pray in the coming days and weeks for Uganda and for Wiggins Primary School, for Mothers Union, and for all those who are trying to build up community and bring your kingdom in those areas. Lord, we do thank you that you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.